What is good, ladies and gentlemen? This is another episode of Hopped On Sports, and we've got a great recap of the weekend here tonight for you. What a great time of year it is, man. I am so excited. This weekend, I was all over the place doing all sorts of things, but the one thing that stayed consistent was the great sports, and I was all about it. So before we get too much into that, let me go ahead and welcome Steven. Steven, what's up, man?
This is Hopped On Sports, your podcast for the beer drinking sports fan. We don't say that as much anymore. That used to be a staple when we opened the show.
It was.
Your podcast for the beer drinking sports fan. I like that because off the bat, it tells people what we do. If you guys are new here, we are all about beer and sports. Pretty simple. We're going to talk about all the, just the news and sports going on. We're not going to be Stephen A. Smith. We're not going to be over the top obnoxious. We do debate. We have some great conversations. But if you guys are new, we appreciate you tuning in. You can find us on Facebook. You go to Hopped On Sports. You could send us an email, hoppedonsports@gmail.com. If you want to call us, send us a DM and then we'll hit you up. But until then, we appreciate you tuning in. We're going to jump into it. What are you drinking, Preston?
So tonight, I've got a beer by Bendictor. It is a...
What was that?
Bendictor. It's a lager. It's a beer. I don't think I've even seen this before. I've definitely heard of them before, but have not got to try anything by them. It is kind of a warm day here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Very beautiful. We should probably be out golfing. It's a little wet. Had some rain, but on a warm day like this, a lager is a great go-to beer, and that's exactly why I chose this here today. And I'm pretty excited. It's pretty simple. I mean, it's 5%. Nothing crazy. Real light. And just a good beer for a warm day. So what about you? What do you got over there?
This is a new one for me, and I don't know how to say it, but as usual, I don't look it up. I don't care how to say it. I say it how I think the audience should hear it in English so that they can have their best opportunity to see how it is spelled. And it is a fru. It's one of those U's with the two dots.
It's a soft U?
It's F-R-U-H. It's a Kolsch. Or, you know, the two dots are over the O, too. Yep. And so maybe it's a fro. I'm not funny today. It's just not happening.
It's Monday. It's early to be pulling those jokes.
It's Monday. It's a Kolsch. Typically, I don't like Kolsches. So this is an exciting one for me because I've heard nothing good about this. And I've heard nothing bad about it. So I'm going into it with an open mind. It's out of, I can't say any words that are written on this whole bottle.
I'll tell you what.
I don't even know what to say.
Let's post a picture of what we're drinking here tonight.
Let's do that.
Probably should have done a little research on pronunciation here tonight.
I'm assuming you walk into a bar in Germany, and this is the bottle they're going to give you. I mean, there's no, you know, the description on the back, it is in English, but... anyways, looking forward to this one. You've always told me I need to get more into Kolsches, and I just have not found one that I like yet. So, looking forward to it. Let's, hop right into it, as you would say. Cheers.
Cheers, man. All right. Well,
so
big weekend.
Yeah, but wait.
Give us a little review here.
Yeah, it's good. It doesn't taste like a Kolsch. At least not how I recall most of them tasting. Have you had this one?
I have not.
No, I can tell you this is incredible already. And I don't know. We'll see. I did just take a shot of salsa, so my palate might be
a little messed up.
Yeah. But I'm liking it so far. We'll see how it goes throughout the rest of the episode.
Good. All right. Well, this weekend, I watched quite a bit of basketball. You know, you and I were talking all leading up to this point about how kind of getting transitioned into basketball and all that after football ends and after getting into other things. Well, I'm pretty certain that I've officially made that transition because I watched the Lakers-Bucks game on Friday night. I watched the Thunder game yesterday. I watched OU basketball game on Saturday. I'm here. I officially arrived for basketball, and let me tell you, man, it was a great weekend to just kind of sit back and chill and watch some sports, and that's exactly what I did. Friday night was super chill. Turned the Lakers-Bucks game on, and it did not disappoint. And let me tell you, man, right now, LeBron James is playing on another level. He's 35 years old, and he's the best player on the planet right now. Thoughts?
I figured you would say that.
No, I'm, you know what? The last couple of years, I've really gone the other way on LeBron. I really can't stand a lot of things he does. But he's clicking right now, man, and he's probably leading in the MVP votes.
You know what? I'll say this. He is playing on a different level right now than he has been the last couple of years, in my opinion. I watched the Bucks-Lakers game, and I watched some of the Lakers-Clippers. And, well, you know, the Lakers beat all three of the big dogs this week, all three of them. And I'm going to go ahead and say that I think that a lot of that is due to the way that LeBron has been playing. He's been playing very good defense, too, which is something that...
He shut down Giannis.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he really did. He played a great game. He played a great three-game stretch there. But I'll say this. I think there's something to tie back in to Kobe with the way that he's playing. And we discussed this. How it's going to be hard to beat the Lakers. The Lakers have a lot of energy right now. They've had it all year, but I really think that everything they've been surrounded by and the amount of support that they've had this year, especially after Kobe, I think that's showing. I think that LeBron made some moves this week that I didn't know he still had in him. I really didn't. I mean, he was playing like high school. He was playing like high school. Man, the beer is already hitting me that strong. I can't even remember Zion Williamson's name. No, he's playing forceful basketball. He's playing like Russell Westbrook, like prime Derrick Rose. I mean, he really is. But I do have to say this. I've read a lot of LeBron beats the Bucks. LeBron beats the Clippers. You know, LeBron.
Right.
But the team is pretty stacked.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from him because I do sit there and watch and go, man, this guy is playing out of his mind right now. But then you look, and to me, the run that Westbrook had the last 2 years is more impressive than what he's doing now. What's weird is people became immune to Westbrook scoring 35 and 10 rebounds and 12 assists. And LeBron came close to those numbers the last three games and is just like, oh my gosh, King James. So I don't know. He's playing great. I'm not going to discredit him. It's funny how there's a lot of other people doing. I mean, heck, freaking Ricky Rubio. I didn't even know the guy was still not only still playing basketball. I didn't know he was still in the U.S. I didn't know if he was still alive. I mean, and he comes out with a triple-double last week and you remember the shakeup Rubio caused when he came into the league?
Oh yeah, yeah.
How cool is that? Like he's just this dude, just like a baller, and all of a sudden he's coming to the league, and he was one of those that goes down as a noteworthy draft just because of the hype that was behind it and the anticipation of what it was going to be like when he came in the league, and you know there's his triple double.
It's kind of crazy guys like that who kind of fall off a little bit. Because yeah, he was such a big, kind of icon almost coming in and did a lot of great things, but then he just kind of fell off and, you kind of forget that he's still around.
Yeah. And I didn't anticipate 2 days ago talking about Ricky Rubio on today's show, but, you know, cool dude. He seems like a cool dude. He's a little too spicy, but, whatever that means. A lot went on in the basketball world this weekend. Did you watch the Thunder game?
Yesterday?
Thunder Celtics?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Chris Paul, man, he continues to amaze me with what he's doing.
Well, you know, so Friday night's game, Thunder Knicks. Thunder just absolutely destroyed. And I kind of felt like going into Saturday or Sunday that this is a game that the Thunder might lose after playing in New York on Friday, then having to go to Boston here. Of course, SG to even play. And, you know, who's the leading scorer at this point. But the Thunder find a way. And we've been saying it all year. They find a way to win. And let me tell you what, to do it with defense at the end of the game was so cool to see. Because Chris Paul locked down Jason Tatum to finish
just
that game.
Just shut him down.
And completely shut him down. And it was so such a great way to finish. But
yeah. In other news, LiAngelo Ball to the Oklahoma City Blue.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
That is interesting.
You know what, though? That could be interesting. The Thunder have a tendency to, I mean, from what I've seen looking at, and we've talked about the Cardinals farm system and how they bring people up in the baseball team. The Thunder really seem to do a lot of that, too. I mean, you think about the drafts we have and then names that are made, and then all of a sudden, look at... You could look at the NBA right now and look and say, I would be willing to say 15 to 20 teams have a player on their roster that's a starter that has played for the Thunder in the last 5 years.
It sure seems that way.
I mean, every time you're watching a game, it seems like you're watching a player that was a bench player for the Thunder. And now they're, you know, I mean, Reggie Jackson.
Yep. Sabonis.
I mean, those are, you know, there's better names, but...
No, I mean, Sabonis was an all-star this year. I mean, Sabonis is actually one of the guys, even when we were getting rid of him, I was like, man, he's going to be good one day. It sucks that we had to get rid of him, but, I mean, just to get Paul George, you kind of got to do what you got to do there, but...
Right, but, I mean, you look at Oladipo.
Yeah.
You know, that's a name you haven't heard much this year. In fact, I haven't even followed up on that. Is he playing?
Well,
is he good?
He got hurt at the end of last year, and yeah. I can't remember how that has played in. That is weird that I'll have to look that up while we're sitting here talking because, I'm not sure, to be honest.
You know, there's Oladipo, you know, Jeremy Grant, Enes Kanter. It just goes on and on, Serge Ibaka and on and on and on.
Yeah,
and
Oladipo's playing.
A lot of teams can claim the same. I just feel like it's happened more to the Thunder, maybe because I'm more emotionally tied to him, but
right.
Who's your front runner right now?
I mean, I think it's pretty clear that the best team in the world right now is the Lakers. Not the Clippers.
Well, I gotta say this. I would probably agree with you because of numbers. Who's winning the championship this year?
Well, I mean, as of now, like, I still got to stand by that. I mean, I think after the whole Kobe thing, I mean, I think it really did, like, turn a switch in LeBron. And, I mean, he's on a mission now. And, I mean, Lakers are 49-13. Milwaukee is 53-11. I mean, those are your two best teams, no doubt. I mean, there's no arguments there. I think Milwaukee in a 7-game series would make it really interesting, but for right now, I just don't see anybody beating the Lakers. They really are starting to click.
Yeah, clickers.
Here's the deal: like, we're giving LeBron all this credit, dude. Anthony Davis has been incredible.
Oh yeah,
absolutely incredible. I mean, everyone knows that. Everyone knows what kind of talent
no
that
doubt.
Guy is. But I mean, it's pretty easy to, to make someone better when you've got a guy like Anthony Davis.
Yeah, and when you're playing with somebody like LeBron, your stats probably aren't going to be what they could if you were leading the team either.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, there's that factor, and I still, at the beginning of the year, going into this, I picked the Clippers, and I'm having a hard time veering away from that. Think about having to go into a competitive series against a team that has Patrick Beverley, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and having to try to score on those guys and get under their skin.
Yeah, I mean, on paper they look great. I mean, they absolutely do, and they've struggled at times this year. I mean, they're 18-13 on the road this year, so when they're playing away from home, they're not playing great basketball. But home, when they're at home, I mean, they're 25-7. I mean, that's a strong showing. So, playoff time will be different. Like you said, everyone really starts playing defense then, and you've got three great defenders right there, so it is going to be tough for guys to score on him.
What do you say, the Raptors just come out of nowhere and...
You know, so that was going to kind of be my dark horse, just because, I mean, obviously they are the defending champions.
Right.
They're quietly sitting at 45-18 right now.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing great ball. Yeah. Their defense is brutal right now. They're playing great defense. Yeah. Actually, they're... Statistically, their numbers are better right now on defense than they were when they had Kawhi.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, I mean, Boston is right there. I mean, Boston is a solid team. That's what makes yesterday's win so impressive.
That surprised me.
Thunder. Miami, I mean, they're young and scrappy, man. I mean, they're right there as well. You know, I think got to be the biggest disappointment right now. It's got to be
Pelicans.
The 76ers.
Yeah, nobody cares about
them.
Well,
see, I mean, but they had the process and all this stuff, and they had made this big move like they were going to be something, and here they are sitting at the sixth seed, 38-26.
I don't necessarily agree with that, just because I never got into the hype that they had going.
Listen to this. This is crazy. I had no idea. I would have never, in fact, yeah, I mean, clearly this was going to be it. The 76ers have the best home record in the NBA.
Yeah.
They're 28-2 at home this year.
What?
They're 10-24 on the road.
Well, there's your answer.
That's insane. Wow.
Philly, you know, no, you know why that is.
You don't want to disappoint those pissed off fans in Philly? I mean, I don't know.
No, if you're not from Philadelphia, you don't want to go to Philadelphia. There's no away fans going to Philadelphia.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Nobody wants to go to Philadelphia.
That's a good
Come
point.
On. I mean,
they're booing, like, when Embiid was playing bad, I mean, they were booing him and stuff like that. I mean, they're ruthless fans.
It's awful. There's nothing good from Philadelphia other than Carson Wentz.
That's pretty solid.
He is the only thing from Philadelphia that is worth respecting.
It's a hot take right there. I'll tell you what, if I would have told you that, you know, 5 months ago, if I had told you that the Thunder would have a better record than Houston right now, would you believe it?
No, not a chance. Not a chance, but I'll tell you what, don't count Houston out.
No, you know what, I think Houston finishes with a better record than OKC. I really do think OKC is going to be like that sixth seed. I don't really see them slip into seven, but they're going to be right there fighting 4, 5, 6 all the rest of the season. But Houston, I mean, that's interesting, man. I mean, trade away, get all these picks and everything, and here the Thunder are sitting at 5. And I'll tell you what, I'll take that OKC-Utah first-round matchup.
Yeah.
Utah's had our number last few years, but this is a different team, man. And I think we would line up pretty well with Utah.
Can you even fathom how the world would react if the Thunder win the tournament? I mean, it's funny because we've shown that we can beat every team, you know.
Yeah.
It's possible. We can beat every team.
Except the Bucks.
Yeah, that's tough, and that's the one that you got to beat. But it's doable. I don't want to take it out of contention, but
right.
It ain't going to happen. However, if it does, I think it would be one of the most interesting turnarounds of an organization, a sports organization that I've seen, just because you went from having so much power mm-hmm. and having such a good team and so many good players to, oh man, I really don't like the direction the Thunder's going. And yet here's Presti, who I'm starting to respect more, and I talked about that a couple months ago, finds a way to be a third seed going into the NBA into the playoffs. And you're thinking, how in the world have the Thunder even won 10 games? And, I mean, I said at the beginning of the season, I said, because we were like one or two games in, and we were like, man, the Thunder, it was close. It was close. And I was like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of close games this year that don't go the Thunder's way. Because we're going to be good enough to fight, but, you know, we've ended up being good enough to win. And it's been impressive to watch. And props to the coaching staff and the management team at the Thunder for making do with this team.
How much credit do you think Chris Paul should have for
all of it? I think he deserves all of it.
All it might be strong, but yes, a very, very large portion of this.
Here's why I would say all. because all minus Steven Adams. Steven Adams is a force of his own. I mean, it's not, you know, there's four or five centers in the game that are capable of doing what Adams does. But Chris Paul has found a way to make mediocre players relevant and mm-hmm. good and somebody that you don't want to see on the outside, somebody yeah. that you don't want to see driving. And what happens when you play with somebody like Chris Paul, he gets you the ball when you're wide open. And then you shoot, and all of a sudden you start gaining confidence. And this is like something that happened with Jeremy Grant. I mean, Jeremy Grant was not a great player at first. And then all of a sudden, playing with Westbrook and playing with these guys, and it just started clicking, and he started hitting shots, and his confidence was building. But I'm giving Chris Paul a lot of credit, and I was not happy to see him come into the Thunder, but he's clearly leading this team to another level.
Yeah, it was really cool. His interview yesterday, I mean, almost had he just had a lot of emotion in his voice when he was talking, doing his press conference there at the end. He was just excited, man. He was like, this big win for us. Was really proud of the guys for sticking together and finishing that out. I mean, you can tell this team is bought in. They've bought in to what everyone is preaching, man. I mean, and I really do, like you said, give Chris Paul a lot of that credit, because he's the vet. He's the guy that everyone's listening to, and it shows, man, because this team, I think they can surprise some people. What's funny is I just talked about the 4-5 matchup that we'd have with the Jazz. Well, we're going to get a little preview, because Wednesday, Jazz, Thunder in OKC. So, be interesting to see how this plays out. See if we're capable of hanging with the Jazz. I know it's obviously still early. It's not the playoffs, but this is always a good way, especially now, because you went towards the end of the season. You know, it's kind of dress rehearsal, getting ready for the playoffs now. You know, you're really trying to get everything going, everyone on the same page, everyone healthy. So hopefully we get out there and, you know, let it ride, keep this winning streak going.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be fun to watch it play out. So I'm still taking the Clippers, and just going with my gut on that, I just feel like it's the team. Mm-hmm. I just like defense going into basketball, playoffs, and you've got three of the best defenders. You can have a bad offensive night, but, you know, when you got three great defenders, You know, it's a lot easier. It's not easier to be a good defender than an offensive player, but when you are a great defensive player, it's harder to have an off night. You know, it's easier to play defense when you're a great defensive player than play great offense when you're a great offensive player.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is nothing too important in the, we're not even going to go there. It's Corona time.
What does that even mean?
Do you live under a rock?
I know what the Corona, I'm saying, you're saying it's Corona time. Where are you going
with
this?
It's Corona time. It's our new segment.
Okay.
It's Corona time. So, what sports events this week have been canceled due to a fake illness?
Which, tell me.
I don't know. I should have researched it.
Well, I did see
there were plenty. I can tell you that. I mean, they had, you know, there was a ski event that got canceled last week. There was a soccer tournament got canceled. I mean, really, I was just saying that to joke, but it would have actually kind of been funny if I had a list of events that have been canceled, because it's real. I mean,
right.
It's going on, man.
Do you see that video of Ronaldo walking out of the, he's in the tunnel, like getting out of the bus, walking through to go out to the field, and usually there's like fans and things like that, but because of the coronavirus and all that, they're not letting fans to the games, and
yeah,
they're just playing without fans, which, it's got to be weird. It's an official game without fans, but he's walking. He was pretending like he was giving high fives to people that were usually there.
Oh,
but they were not there. So
that's funny. I didn't see that.
It is crazy to see how that's affected things.
You know, they talked about the NBA doing some games without fans, and LeBron came out and said, "Oh, if there's no fans, I'm not playing," which I thought was oddly interesting. Looking back a couple years ago, when was it? I think it was the Cavs that benched him or that Heat said, hey, I'll just sit out going into, and it might have been the Heat, but I think it was the Cavs, going into the playoffs. You know, they've already got their spot secured. Nothing's going to change. So they benched LeBron. Well, all these fans that had already, you know what? It was Cleveland. In fact, Ryan that we work with had tickets to one of those games. He got nice box seats, and he went to go watch LeBron, and all of a sudden LeBron's on the bench not playing. Where was his love for his fans then? You know what I mean? Right. If it's all about the fans, then why weren't you playing then? And now he's not going to play if there's no fans. I didn't like that double-sidedness of the situation. But I'll tell you what, if there's not going to be fans, yeah, maybe you don't go play, you know, but not in that situation where you're two-faced.
No, that is kind of interesting. You know, I don't know where I stand with that kind of stuff, because it's like, yes, I want my, as a fan, you want your guys playing. You want everyone getting ready. But which is more important, LeBron playing a, number 78th, 79th game of the season that doesn't mean anything when they've already got something wrapped up, or winning a championship?
Oh, 100% winning the championship.
Right.
So but don't say it's all about the fans.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. That's where you're like,
Yeah, if I'm playing,
an awkward deal.
No, if I'm LeBron, I'm sitting out the games. But I'm not going to then turn around and say, oh, I'm going to do whatever I can to make sure that the fans get what they want. Well, you weren't thinking about that when, you know. I mean, if it's you just go out there and you play half as hard as you could and you just turn it into a shoot around,
right?
You know, but just to sit on the bench and then say you're doing everything you can to give to the fans, that's not true.
Yeah.
It's just not true.
That's a good
but
point.
If I were in his shoes, I'd be on the bench too.
Right.
But I would apologize to the fans for not playing. They could find me, but I'm saving my abilities for the playoffs and hoping not to get injured. It's a business decision. It sucks if you're a fan, but, you know, it's a player's interest first, in my opinion, so don't act like it's the fans.
Yeah. Did you have anything else for Corona time?
Yeah. I do, actually. Verlander is out with a strained lat. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah. We're talking about viruses, so I figured we could just translate that to the Astros.
Okay. There you go. I like that. I can agree with that. Yeah, I did see that. Now his opening day status is to be determined.
He said himself he doesn't see it happening. So, I mean, you can listen to the media. He may be lying, who knows, but he ain't playing opening day.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, I don't really care.
Right. I'll tell you what. I was trying to, since you've got me on this now, man, I'm so excited. Baseball is, it's here, man. It's just right around the corner. But obviously, injuries, it is very disappointing, because you've already seen a few big names like Verlander. Chris Sale has announced that there's a chance he might need Tommy John surgery. Of course, the Yankees are already battling injuries. It's absolutely ridiculous. Severino out for the year with Tommy John. Judge isn't going to start the year. That does damper, put a little bit of a damper on things going into the season. But either way, it's baseball season, and I'm here for it. I'm ready to go. First game, March 26th, so we're right around the corner. But before we get to baseball, I do have to get my fix in with college basketball.
I watched some college basketball this weekend.
Yeah? What'd you watch?
I watched Arkansas.
Yeah.
I watched Arkansas, A&M, I believe it was. I was halfway watching. I was in Arkansas this weekend, and it was just a lot of Arkansas sports I watched. I was with the Arkansas family, so diehard Razorback fans. We watched a couple Arkansas baseball games. And I'll tell you what, man, and honestly, I would much rather watch a college baseball than MLB. In the slow part of the season, when it gets down to nut crunching time, I think I enjoy watching the World Series more. But these meaningless games that are happening five games into the season, I'd rather watch college. It's just there's a different type of energy.
Yeah,
you know, these guys are trying to play to get to the next level. They're hyped. You know, every hit for them is a big deal. Whereas the MLB, those guys have been there and done it so many times. There's still emotions, but there's a lot more emotions in college baseball than there is in the MLB.
And yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're not playing for money. You're playing for, you know, your team and all that. So
yeah.
I'll tell you what, I love watching the College World Series.
Oh, it's great.
I mean, these guys getting amped up, doing these crazy celebrations, all that. Yeah, I'm all about it. So
one of my biggest struggles in baseball over the years, if I'm not physically going to a game, I have a really hard time turning on a middle-of-the-season MLB game just because there's so many games that I feel like me watching that game, whether my team wins or loses, it doesn't have that big of an impact on the season. And I think that's one of the biggest issues that the MLB has, because I am a baseball fan, but if I'm not drawn in to watch those games, I just feel like they're not drawing in a new audience because they have a reputation of having way too long of a season. Mm-hmm. And I don't necessarily think they do because their bodies, I mean, it's not as, you know, it's not like a football season where if you had that many games in a football season, you'd have a 2-man roster at the end of the season,
like
the Yankees did last year. So, I mean, I don't know. It would be very, very interesting to see the MLB, and it'll never happen, but how interesting would it be to see the MLB go to a 50-game season?
Yeah, I mean, short. No, let's say they go half. Let's say they go 80.
No, I just mean like
they go 82 games, and yeah, I mean, it'd be different. I mean, I get where you're coming from. I think a lot of people nowadays with, you know, attention spans of, you know, a couple seconds, it's hard to draw people in for something like a marathon like baseball is. But that's why you got to find ways to, I'd say you got to find a team. You got to find ways to appreciate the game every time. Like, you know, there's no secret how many games I watch 120 plus games a year, without even a doubt. And I mean, I enjoy every single one. I mean, yes, there's times where I'm like, this one isn't as big of a deal. So if I walk away and have to do some stuff, I'm not missing a ton. But at the same time, it's like I'm hyped when a Yankee game's on. When I'm like, oh man, I got, you know, years past, got Tanaka on the bump, or, you know, CC or whatever it might be. Get excited about that matchup, or a Sunday night baseball with Yankees Red Sox. You know, whatever it might be, I it gets me going. So you just got to find a way to do what, you know, makes you happy and is going to draw your attention in. So.
Yeah. Well, the Yankees, I mean, I can tell you one person that is drawn into the game and has reasons to like it, and that's Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
I mean, how much freaking money's he made? What's he got, a $325 million contract this year? I know it's not just this year,
yeah,
but...
Right. What, 9 years? Yeah. It's a big boy, and he you know, it's... I don't want to say it's easy to pitch other places, but it's... He has never had a market that he has to, an audience, an environment that he has to appeal to, like New York. I mean, there's so many people who've come to New York and failed just because it's different, man. I mean,
he won a national championship, or he won his World Series ring
with Houston.
Yeah, right? But it counts, right? Yeah.
No, it counts. I'm saying the pressure of playing in New York is just different.
Is it?
Oh, 100%.
I mean,
there's
is it because
there's
Houston,
nothing like it in sports?
Yeah, I could see that, but I mean, it's not like you're not going to a huge other level from Houston to New York. I mean, Houston
when it comes to the media, it's night and day different.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, because the Yankees, I mean, you're talking about one of the most praised sports teams in the history of sports. I mean, really, you look all the way back to Babe Ruth, and
yeah.
I mean, the media started with him, and it hasn't slowed down, even when the Yankees were slow. But what I'm saying is the pressure of pitching on the mound, these guys zone it all out, man. It's the mound, it's the catcher. I'd say what's more important than the atmosphere is your catcher. If you're not cool with your catcher, if you're not in a good chemistry with him, that's way more important than what's going on off the field or around you in the atmosphere. That's my opinion.
But see, the thing about it is these guys say, like, oh, I don't read the news, or I don't do this, I don't do that. But you can feel it, man. These guys think they got to live there. You know, I mean, they're walking around. They're doing things like normal people do with that. You know, if they're playing bad at the time, they can hear it. The people are chirping at them. People are letting them know. And it you can't just escape it. You can't really block it all out. It just lives around you.
That's a new word for me.
What?
Escape.
Escape?
Oh, escape. Okay. I get that one. I gotcha.
Okay. It is, I don't know, something about New York, man. It just proves, I mean, like I said, you've had tons of players come through New York and not be able to live up to their contracts, live up to what they've done in the past. It's, for whatever reason, man, it's just been different. So, very excited to see what Cole does. I'm happy that we went ahead and rolled the dice and going for it. But, you know, we'll find out. He's got a great opportunity to, you know, really, he's already said he wants to be the greatest pitcher ever. So he's got a great opportunity to, you know, start that, discussion.
He better start growing a mullet.
Something.
So Pirates, Blue Jays, did you see what happened in that game?
Pirates, I guess not.
Pirates hit a bomb to the fence. It doesn't go over, but it hits the wall. Blue Jays center fielder. I don't know names in this sequence, but he turns around, launches it, and then they end up hitting the cutoff, throwing it to the catcher, and there's one tag at the plate and another. Like, I mean, it was the most freakishly weird thing. It was like, I didn't watch enough replay. I only saw the video once. I don't know if there were different angles or different replays, but in my opinion, what would have happened was the first base runner gets to the home plate, he got tagged out, but the guy behind him had to have been light years faster than him and just caught him because they're both running down.
Oh, it's just they're bang, running. Bang.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I mean, they're both right there. It was so weird. That's it was funny. Such a weird sequence. And I mean, it wasn't bang, bang, but it was like within 10 or 15 feet of each other. And if he wouldn't have gotten tagged, he would have just got caught in a pickle real quick. But yeah, that was a crazy one. And then I saw a fan hitting a trash can, and then
oh, yeah.
Bregman strikes out looking. Did you see that?
Yeah.
That was pretty funny.
I saw a thing that was like everyone's in, or a fan gets in Bregman's head and then, you know, proceeds to strike out.
Yeah. Well, we've probably talked enough baseball for the day.
Yeah.
That's about as much as we've talked over the course of our podcast history.
Well, I do want to say in a couple weeks, I do want to really break down the season. We'll give our predictions of maybe divisions and kind of what we think is going to happen over the year. So we'll do a little research on that. Might even have a special guest. So you and I will discuss that going forward. But
cool.
Baseball, man, it's almost here. So
yeah. Well, I feel like we missed a thing or two when we were talking about basketball. Steph Curry's back.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
You know, Steph is back, and he's looking cool. He's not looking great, but he's looking good.
I was going to say I do obviously not a Curry fan, but you got to respect him, man, because that first game he didn't really even do much, but the things that he did do was like electric.
Yeah.
And I mean, he just shows you why he's the greatest shooter of all time. So.
Yeah. You think?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, man. We'll see. We'll see it play out throughout the rest of his career. Right now, I wouldn't be ready to say that.
Who's better?
Couple. I mean, I think Dirk for one.
You think Dirk is a better shooter?
Yeah, I do. I think when you really get to looking at stats, Steph is not as appealing on paper as he is while you're watching him. I mean, it's freaking incredible watching what he's done the last 5 years. But, you know, there's a guy coming up. I saw a stat the other day even that he's got more threes than Steph did already. So, I did a pretty poor job describing that. I think at this guy's point in his career, he's outperforming Steph by a decent margin, by a notable margin. And I mean, you could pick and choose, you know, that's by this point Steph's, you know, I think currently Steph is probably the most dangerous outside shooter. I think overall though, Durant is probably a better shooter across the whole court. But yeah, there's that. Chris Paul, did you see what happened in between at the Celtics game? that teenager, the fan was chirping at him. Chris Paul didn't really like what he was saying. He ended up going over and shaking the guy's hand, and he's like, "Hey, you know, I didn't see what he said or hear what he said, but I would imagine it was, you know, put some respect on my name." So, yeah, good week of sports, man. A lot of cool stuff happened in baseball. A lot of cool stuff happened in basketball, but some even cooler stuff happening on the track, man. This week, you know who won the race?
You know what? I saw stuff going on. I never actually saw the finish.
Yeah, Denny Hamlin won this week's race as the biggest douchebag in NASCAR. But Joey Logano finished first and took the checkered flag. So Joey wins again. That's twice this year already. Denny continues to blow my mind at how dirty of a driver he is. I don't understand it. I can't understand it. I mean, you look at what just happened with him and Ryan Newman. He almost killed the guy, and he's still driving like a maniac. You know, it's drive to win at all costs, and I'm never going to like the guy. I give up on him. I've tried. But Joey, two wins, man. Two wins already. Four races. He's got two wins. He's won half the races. He's running good. Running real strong. Penske's looking great. Ryan Blaney's doing awesome. He got taken out by by Hamlin this week. Hamlin freaking hits Keselowski and Blaney all in one, two Penske drivers. I'm telling you, as much as I don't like Denny Hamlin, I guarantee you Roger Penske has more of a hatred for that guy than I do, because he's nonstop jacking with his drivers, nonstop.
You know, I was going to say, I think what you're saying, like, he almost just killed a guy and then he's still doing it. I think you have your driving style and you stick to what you do. And that's kind of what he does. You know, you call it dirty. I've heard a lot of people almost praise it in the way he drives. So it's interesting to hear the two different sides.
Well, it's not working out for him.
I mean, he just won the Daytona 500. So
yeah, but that doesn't matter. I mean, it got him a little bit of money, but at the end of the season, you think he wants to win the Daytona 500?
No,
he wants to win it all.
Yeah, he wants to win it all.
You can't win it all driving like he does.
I mean, he's had success in the past.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's had plenty.
So, great. I mean, like I said, he's doing something right. But, yeah, I would agree. I mean, you got to adjust to what's around you, and maybe he's having a hard time making that transition.
I'm not going to take away from his career. He's had a great career. But, you know, he's in this stretch right now of just filthy driving. And, I mean, I even would say that Logano went through it for a little while, and you kind of watch it, and it's like, ugh, like, oh my gosh, he just did that, you know. But I don't know, man. It's every race right now that I'm watching, he's causing a wreck or he's involved in a wreck that is avoidable because of the way he's driving. And I tell you what, there's going to be some fights if he keeps doing what he's doing.
Oh, I
you
can
know?
See that.
I mean,
for sure.
And I don't know. I just don't like the guy. He, you know, Matt Kenseth was my least favorite driver. He retired. Kevin Harvick took over as my least favorite driver, and it's just not even close now how far Denny is surpassing anybody else. If he left the series, I would just be happy whoever won every. It wouldn't even be fun for me to watch NASCAR anymore, because I would just celebrate every victory because it wasn't him. So Chase Elliott found a way to choke again. Man, this poor guy, he is always right there, and it just never works out for him. But, you know, Ryan Newman was at the race, and he seemed to be in good spirits. He didn't give a timetable on when he's coming back. Nobody really seems to be given a timetable on when he's coming back. But for the most part, he's in good spirits, and I sure still like to think that he'll end up back in the car again. But at this point, you know, nothing's really being said. They're talking about his return, but I mean, he's got kids, he's got young kids. He did just go kind of going through a divorce, but at some point you sit back and think, ooh, is this worth it? You know, I'm getting older and I'm not sure if I want to keep doing this. I've got a family to watch over, and I have a feeling those are some of the thoughts going through his head. All of his friends, all his friends are going and retiring, and you know, all the guys that he competed with for so long, everybody's getting out of the sport, and it seems to me even that we're losing a lot of old-time NASCAR supporters just because their drivers are leaving and they're not finding people they like instead. So, but Saturday, Brandon Jones passed Kyle Busch for the Xfinity win, and that's kind of a big deal because they're teammates, and I would say anytime you can pass Kyle Busch for a win, you are having a good day. But yeah, I mean, it's just, to me, it's great to see Logano win again. I love watching that guy. I love Penske as a team, you know, whether it be the IndyCar series or the NASCAR series. I just, I like Roger Penske's teams, and yeah, it's just been fun to watch. I've really enjoyed this NASCAR season so far, but what do you have anything else you want to cover before we wrap up? I'm trying to go to the driving range. I got to hit before it gets dark.
No, I just wanted to finish with March Madness talk. I told you I watched the OU game on Saturday. We were playing TCU at TCU, and it was a kind of a big game for OU because they had just lost a heartbreaker to Texas earlier in the week and believed that if they lost this game, they may not make the NCAA tournament. So I had stuff going on previously, and I got a text someone saying, well, there goes our NCAA bid. I turned the game on, and OU is down 20 points. And I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, what happened? And so I played the cool card. I said, it's all right. We just need to go on a run. Get back in this. Obviously, we're talented. We deserve to be here. Let's see how it goes. And OU would start making runs, man. And then, like, TCU would drain the clock down and then hit, like, a three at, like, with 2 seconds left on the shot clock. It's like, man, we're going to fall short because we're just going to run out of time because we keep making these runs, and TCU just ends up scoring one basket here and there just to, you know, keep that lead. Well, finally, they played back into it, end up tying it. Let me tell you, it was an absolute, just incredible game. It's the most excited I've been for an OU game, I think, since Buddy Hield back in when – OU Kansas at Kansas triple overtime game. It was super, I don't know, I was super into this, and I guess it's that time of year, man. But Reeves for OU, absolute Austin Reeves had his best game of his career. He scored 41 points and was an absolute stud from start to finish. I mean, anytime we needed a big basket, including the game winner that he hit, he was there and he delivered. So it was just a great win. OU gets the third seed in the Big 12 tournament, which starts on Wednesday. So I'm super excited for that. OSU Iowa State, I believe, is Wednesday at 6:30.
Yeah.
OU plays on Thursday against West Virginia at 8:00. Big tournament for both teams. I think if OU wins one game, they really do lock themselves in and probably, you know, even get a higher seed. OSU, I mean, they're probably going to have to win the whole thing to make it to the March Madness, but what they have done here at the end of the year has been great, and I think they're going to go to the NIT for sure.
Yeah. Well, it is it's going to be fun. I love March Madness. Some of my favorite sports to watch or sporting events to watch of the year happen in March, and I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, if we don't have anything else to talk about, I'm gonna be greedy and go hit the golf ball.
I understand.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, if y'all are new, even if you're old, you know, like some people we work with that may listen, you guys can go over to Facebook and give us a like if you have not already done that for some reason. At Hopped On Sports, we could talk about this tomorrow. If you think you may or may not know how to find a Facebook page, at Hopped On Sports, or you could send us an email, hoppedonsports@gmail.com. If you guys have any questions, hit us up on either of those. We'll be here. We're looking for them. We like communicating with you guys. So, but until then, y'all have a good weekend and cheers. Or cheers. Good. No, no,
yeah,
no.
Week.
Have a good week.
Yeah. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Cheers.